This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities. Can transform the world. And rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Ahoy!
What is up?
Just rocking you on a beautiful Friday. Hello.
Yes, you are. Yes, I am. Yes, we are.
Got a little sunburn going on right now.
Do you?
I was doing the little video that we have to do for Facebook and Twitter, and I was like, God, I'm awful red. I'm wearing kind of like there's red tones to my shirt, and I was like, it matches my face.
Why are you sunburned?
Just being outside. I'm redoing a deck, and so the sunshine on
the
top,
sunshine.
The sunshine on top of you, the sun being out. It takes a while for the Scandinavian skin to get used to summer. Once it tans up a little bit, then I'm good to go. But for the first, let's say, week to 10 days of real good sunshine. Yeah, the Swedes are not known for our golden brown skin.
Yeah, you gotta wear sunscreen. Probably a guy like you.
A little bit, like you. Like I said, once I get a little bit used to it, and it doesn't go from like lobster color, then I'm fine throughout the summer. But yeah, at the beginning, you gotta. I'm like an old man going into a bath. You can't just plunge in. Like you gotta ease your way in.
Can I admit something to you?
Yeah, what do you got?
Short of being in Vegas, like at the pool, where you're going to be out there all day.
I know where you're going. You don't ever wear it, do
ever.
You? Well, you...
I never wear sunscreen.
I don't know what your background is, but like the heritage, but when it's in the summertime... Like,
I get dark.
You get dark. We once... In today's political climate...
He's going to say it.
In today's political climate, it can get a little awkward, but we had...
I just have always preferred the whites.
Somebody called me a brother.
We had someone in a position of authority say that they found you... Middle Eastern, and then there was a connotation behind that, and I was like, wow, that just got said. Yeah, you get really, really dark. I don't
yeah,
know, like,
and
what
I wear
is...
a turban, so that
yeah,
I mean,
that is,
sometimes
yeah.
that throws them off. But I never. This
what,
is a
what
terrible.
Is the rap,
it's a terrible. Well, we're just a European mutt, just like anybody else.
Well, but like I've seen your brother, I've seen your
yeah.
whole family.
My brother's a gingy. Yeah,
he's like white as white can be.
Yeah, I can't tell you where I got the dark complexion, but I will tell you that growing up in Kansas, I think it's just a Midwest thing.
Yeah,
like a farmer thing. You just don't like sunscreen. My mom always tried to make me put it on, and I always hated it.
Yeah.
Now they have the sprays. Those are easier, but I hate the rubbing ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just tedious. It's kind of like flossing your teeth. Like, I know it's a bad take, and I shouldn't be like this.
Yeah.
Always been like this. I golf and just never put it on unless I'm like, you know, like I said, like it's really bad or yeah. I've been out all day.
I have to put it on at the start of the sunshine, and then the head – has to be protected.
So I probably have cancer.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at.
Well, have you ever seen like where they do like the close up of your skin and you can see the sun damage? Like
no,
on those?
I don't want
to
see
it's
that.
It's a little like, But I have to, even if I get tan as the summer moves on, the head is always vulnerable being a bald guy. So you always have to be up there. And then tattoos. I got a bunch of tattoos. And so you want to cover those up. Otherwise, you just spend a bunch of money to have them be really, really faded and awful. Like, that's the always one that I'm puzzled by. People spend thousands upon thousands of dollars of tattoos, and then they go sit out in the sun the entire time. And I'm like, that is going to destroy those.
I am like Rob. I will get very, very dark during the summer, and I have not often put on sunscreen. I don't burn very easily.
Why do we do this? We know we should. We know better. Why do we do this?
Well, because I feel like I don't need it because I don't burn.
Well, you do need it, but
I've got Turkish and Spanish in me for what it's worth. So that's where some of the darker complexion comes
But doesn't
in.
Everybody need it? Like, I mean, you should use it.
Yeah.
Kids.
Yeah.
Floss your teeth and use sunscreen.
It's smart.
It is smart.
But then you're going to get into this whole other thing where I've heard people.
Chemicals
and they're in your body and I don't know. I just, I don't use it all the time, but yeah, I got to be somewhat smart about it. Otherwise I end up burnt pork. You know.
All right. Well, I'm glad we covered that.
Yeah. I mean, you asked what I was up to. Besides rocking you on a Friday, which is what we do, sun's out a little bit. I'm a little red. A little red today.
It's a big day. 91 degrees yesterday.
Was it 91?
Yeah. I thought it got even warmer than that.
91.
Wow.
Hottest day of the year so far.
And I'll tell you what, when you get a day like that, God bless air conditioning. It's
totally.
It's simply,
we don't have it. New house wonderful. Doesn't have it.
No AC.
We
no,
got to get it put in.
Yeah. No. Are you doing window units? Are you doing central?
No, it'll be central.
Yeah.
I got some HVAC guys on the horn here.
Yeah, it's a game changer.
My guys at Sunset, got to call them. Yeah. You know.
I'm a Clausen man.
I'm going to bid that bitch out.
I'll tell you what, it is, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I just had mine redone just a handful of months ago, so it actually works now.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it really is. AC is one of those, like, when I was shopping for a home, yeah. And I ended up with the Brady Bunch home, like, built in 1982. It's just a location thing. And I love the heat. It's weird. I like it when it's hot. I crank up the heat. I like being outside. But one of the stipulations I had with my realtor was I want AC. I would like to be hot outside, and then when I come inside, I demand to be
instant
cooled up.
Freezing?
Yes. It's like if you've ever been out, you know, whether you're on vacation or you're out, you know, whatever. Just there's if you're cruising around outside, Vegas is the prime example of this. So like you're walking down the Vegas Strip. It's 108 degrees. And you duck into like an ABC store or whatever, like in Hawaii or wherever, that feeling of walking in and getting hit with like 68 degree air, it's like angels blowing on you. It is just, that's one of like the three or four best feelings in the entire world, to go from 100 degrees to air conditioned. The Star Trek doors open up and you just walk in. You're like, oh. Mm.
Tell you
it's
what.
Wonderful.
My wife will not let me hear the end of it if I don't get that in there soon.
Oh, yeah.
She is pissed.
Well, she's at home working, right?
Yes.
And she's not happy about being sweaty.
That's right.
Yeah. See, that's the thing is like when I'm outside, I like it when it's hot. I would prefer 90 to 70. I like the heat. I like working out outside. I like feeling that. I don't even mind the humidity. I like being outside when it's warm. But you have to have a refuge. You have to either have like a pool or you have to be able to go inside without AC or to go inside with AC. Without that, and then the heat,
stuff.
Yeah, that's no bueno.
But, you know, it's supposed to cool down tomorrow.
We got the thunderstorms, right?
Rain a bunch.
Well, that's why I was trying to get the deck sanded today.
Aw.
I was trying to get it done.
Hey, I had a couple things happen today.
Okay.
Well, this last week.
Yeah.
I wonder if you have had any of these happen to you yet during COVID?
I saw someone walking a wolf today. Did you see that?
Badass, no.
A legit what? Wolf.
Wait, why would I see that?
I thought maybe...
Was it down here?
No, it was in Clark County.
Well, I don't,
a
I
legit
don't go
wolf.
There.
Well, you said something happened, and I was like, well, maybe you saw what I
he
saw.
He wanted to one-up you or something happened, because totally. He knew he would
he
by
one-upped
someone,
it before he even heard it.
Because he knew what he said was unbeatable.
Walking...
That is true, I can't beat that.
A wolf on a chain...
How do you know it was a wolf?
How do you know?
There is no way that was not... Remember that Cane Corso we saw? That thing, but wolf. It was...
Are you sure there's not a dog breed that looks like a wolf?
Horse that ears, that was, not a, that was not a husky. That was not a Malamute.
Did you
that
get a
was,
picture?
That was a wolf.
Did you pet it?
No. And it was being walked on a chain, and not like a dog
chain. Did
you chain.
Sing Duran Duran to it?
Hungry like the wolf. Ah. It had like a...
Thank you.
Like a, you know, like... I don't know, like a chain link. It was not like that meant you meant to
There's
walk
no
a dog.
There's no way somebody was walking a wolf.
On McGilvery
There's no
by
way.
Weiss, that
no.
was a gall darn wolf.
What if Some, that's the missing no. wolf that you guys said they assumed is dead?
Oh, yeah.
Remember the one that they said they had been tracking
for years?
Like
N92 or whatever?
Yeah, the old one?
Maybe
yeah.
that's that.
All I know is the other day when that Cane Corso went walking by, and we think that's what it was, we all did the double take, right? We were like, why is someone walking a horse? That today happened, but it was a wolf. I was driving down McGilvery right by YS Junior High School. I hope someone else can confirm this out there. That was, someone was walking a legit wolf. Had I been walking, I think I would have hollered at them, hey, why are you walking a wolf? Instead, I just drove by in amazement.
I don't believe you. I will need photographic or video evidence.
Yeah, the fact that you didn't have the wherewithal to take a picture or a video, I mean, I feel like you probably should have done that.
I'm driving in a car. What do you want me to do?
Stop the car, pull over, take a picture of a person walking a wolf.
I feel like that's
with a giant chain around its neck.
I feel like that's stop-worthy.
That's stop-worthy?
Yeah, it's a freaking wolf. It's not a wolf. It's a dog.
No. That thing was a... There's no way. There is absolutely no way that was a dog.
Well, you did one-up me because I was just going to ask you if anybody has reached out to shake your hand yet.
Oh.
Because I got two of them.
Really?
Yeah.
And what did you do?
I shook their hand.
Really?
Yeah, it was...
You scofflaw.
Did you then sanitize very quickly afterwards?
Did you tell them that they're a horrible human being?
Well, here's what I think. You guys, see if you can corroborate this, okay?
Okay.
I think that the handshake is now becoming a symbol of, hey, this whole thing's overblown, right? Do you know what I mean?
It's a symbol.
Like when somebody, like right now... Most people are not sticking out their hand, right? They're doing the elbow five, right?
Yeah.
Or the sometimes I think the fist bump is starting to come back a little bit.
I fist bumped today.
Yeah, we realize there's not a lot of contact there, right?
Yeah.
On the knucks.
Yeah.
But I had a neighbor, a new neighbor that I met, and then a guy working on the house extend their hand to shake my hand.
And you went with it,
and
huh?
Why? Well, what are you going to do? Like just...
Well, you don't have to shake someone's hand.
I know, but that's awkward. I dove right in.
So, but you're saying is,
but I feel
you
like
you didn't want to. You got bullied into a handshake.
I would prefer not to because you know I'm scared of COVID.
We now know that Rob is a weak-willed man and can easily be persuaded with a handshake.
No, I just felt like it was the easier thing to do. I wonder if that's becoming a thing where people are like, "Yeah, I'm shaking hands.
Yeah.
Damn it."
Yeah,
and then they stick out their hand and then put you in the position of either agreeing with them or disagreeing with them. And then they either love you or hate you.
Well, I feel
because
like,
that's what it has to be now.
I feel like the mask is the same thing. The mask is now, everything is a political symbol, right? If you wear the mask, you're a bleeding heart liberal. And if you don't wear the mask, then you love Trump. And it's even the American flag in some ways has become this, right? I was having a conversation yesterday with someone that said this. They said, when I see the American flag now in front of someone's home or like flying from a pickup or whatever, it just has a connotation to me. Everything has become politicized.
That's what I'm saying. So
and you're
think,
right. I think the handshake is certainly one of those.
Is now a symbol of people.
I'm done.
And it doesn't mean you're like on one side or the other. It just means like on the COVID issue, you're like,
yeah,
I'm not afraid of it.
Yeah.
And neither should you be. So shake my damn hand.
I think that, well.
And I dove right in.
You went right forward.
I was like, hey, good to see you.
I was like, yeah, let's go.
That way I feel like we bond. You know, like if I...
Did you touch tips or something?
We immediately start off on the wrong foot.
Did you hold the hand for longer because you missed the feeling of shaking someone's hand?
No. I thought it was odd to shake a hand again. I thought it was odd.
It's been a while. In fact,
I gave a good handshake, though.
Nice, firm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was leaving one Jason Quick's house and...
with the booze you brought?
Yeah, with the booze. I brought a really nice bottle of bourbon, and then I took it. And I was like, Quick, you can only have a sip of it. No, I was leaving Quick's house last night, in fact, and we were saying goodbye, and me and Quick had a really awkward, we don't know how to say goodbye moment.
The elbow five.
It was very awkward. It went from like a handshake to a knuckle, a half hug. No one knew what to do. We were in complete...
Well, you don't want to do that.
Just wave at each other.
We were in complete disarray.
Bye.
No one knew how to handle it. And I'll tell you what, it was awkward.
Yeah, the elbow five is a big thing now.
Yeah.
Especially out on the golf course.
But I'm
with... the hugging thing, I'm not there yet.
Yeah. should I have been like, whoa. You know what? We're not... You know what it ended up being? It ended up being like a... like one of those like half bro hug sort of things where there was like your shoulder to shoulder, and then there was like a back pat. That's what it ended up being.
Okay.
Yeah.
Still a little close.
Yeah. And believe me,
you're not supposed to.
Neither one of us felt comfortable
doing it. That's not social distancing.
It's just kind of what happened.
Yeah. Well, I get it. Like I said, it's just kind of what happened to me shaking two hands this week.
Well, here's the thing, though. If someone goes in, this is what you're talking about. I don't remember if I went in or he went in, but one of us went in for some sort of hand gesture, whether that was a shake or a fist bump. And the other one wasn't sure. And then by the time the other one reacted, it was a little too late. And then by then we were shoulder to shoulder.
We've all been there.
And then it kind of turned into a shoulder bump. And then my hand was just out there, the other hand. So I kind of wrapped it around and did the.
Like, let's just do this and we'll never speak of it again. Did you see Tom Brady? Did you watch the match?
Yeah.
Tom Brady did that multiple times where he was not in the habit of not touching. Apparently Tom Brady is a social distancing scofflaw.
He's a mouth kisser. I mean, we know.
He would continually try to high five or even fist bump Phil.
Yeah.
And Phil wouldn't reciprocate.
No, he wasn't having it.
And so then Brady would just have to be awkwardly like,
look, we're living in strange times right now.
Yeah.
We're all trying to learn what the new normal is. Like, what about like a chest bump? Like, is that? Or like,
That's too close.
What happens when you do like what do the NBA guys do that weird jump and you do like a side ass tap? You know, you jump and turn
away. We did that on the course the other day.
Did you? Like someone hit a big putt and you did the ass tap?
Yep. We did the running jumping.
Yeah.
Running leap ass tap.
Yeah, no one knows anymore.
It was a hit with the kids.
The crowd came out and they're like, wow, look at this.
A couple hots saw it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, anyway, I just wonder if people are experiencing more handshakes now and how you feel about that.
Yeah.
Because it's a thing. People are starting to stick out their hand.
Well, I will say.
Maybe you just slap it.
You just get away. What if you just front, like you
slap it?
You slap them instead. You're like, how dare you?
Slap them right across the face.
It's a series of slaps. I will say today, the first time since this, we're COVID cast 57.
Yes, 57.
I ran into legit traffic today, first time since this whole thing started.
Oh, really?
No accident. No, it just was legit. And it wasn't horrible, but legit traffic coming down 84, getting on I-5, there was legit traffic.
I also ran into a little traffic today as well.
First time it's happened.
It was there.
Well, we do have a lot of people around the building today that shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, I did.
There's a lot of people running around. Well, a lot. There are several
like
people running around.
Yeah, they're
But there's not supposed to be anyone in here.
They're drinking in the back office, just saying.
Well.
Not that I.
Want to go join them?
No, I was like, you know what? No.
For the first time ever, I was listening to our traffic report that we have piped in on our station.
Oh, so I like the drink.
So you're the one.
The other day. And maybe it was yesterday. I caught it. And he was talking about I-5 backup.
Yeah.
So I think the normal
it's starting to creep
places
in.
Where we bottleneck, I think those are starting
he was
to.
Lying every day.
Just reading something.
Yeah, he was like, there's no traffic, but it's slowing on 26.
Everyone at once, that's not true. Yeah. No, today.
Brake lights.
Today on 84, and then when you 84 to get on I-5, like by the Markham, you can look back and see I-5. I-5 looked really, really slow. So I do think today we had Friday Friday traffic, which is not a good thing, but it kind of is. Friday traffic is the worst, right? Like normally that thing is horrific. It doubles my commute. But today when I ran into traffic, you know what? I just gave it a little bit of a smile and a nod, and I was like, hey, we're coming back.
It was kind of like old traffic.
Yes.
Like bad traffic before traffic got really, really bad.
Like 10-year traffic. Like
15-year ago traffic.
Yeah, 10, 15 years ago, it was that kind of traffic, and I was like, oh, I got a little nostalgic for it.
Old Portland.
Yeah.
All right, well, you guys, I'm warning you now. I don't know what lies ahead. It's a Friday.
Well, we're rocking you.
It's a beautiful day.
That's what's happening.
I promise to rock you. We do have a fan personality series poll question coming up next.
Yeah.
Another one. Other stuff going on.
We'll see what happens.
That's right.
Yeah.
It'll be play it by ear Friday.
Let's let the river take us, right? We're just floating down.
Friday randoms all day.
Maybe we're heading to Turdville. Maybe we're not. I don't know. But we're in the boat, and we're just going to let the current take us.
Probably
we'll make stops in multiple places. Who knows?
It's possible. Yeah. All why right. do you have to just stop at Turdville? Why can't you just make a small visit or just keep going right past it?
Let's get started. 318 on the fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All All right, the fan personality series of poll questions continues today with number seven out of 10. We're going to do 10 of these. As always, it is brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, family business helping families for over 50 years, AAAIAQ.com, and it is available at 1080thefan.com. Real quick, recapping number six. Yesterday, we asked you which fan personality is most likely to be searching for his phone while holding it in his hand. Do you care to guess who won that?
It's going to be you or me.
I finished third.
Okay.
So there is a surprise in the top two.
Okay. Well, did I win?
You won by a mile.
Yeah.
40%.
I can't.
Which surprises me. I thought I would be closer to you. I was only at 14%.
Yeah, I can't deny that either. I mean,
I can't deny me being up there either.
Yeah, dude, I do this all the time. Keys will be in my pocket.
Yep.
Maybe not in my hand, but I have had my cell phone in my
the
back
sunglasses
pocket.
Sunglasses on my head. It gets me all the time.
All the time. I've been hit in the head a lot. I'm sorry. I have senior moments. Sometimes I'm driving and I forget where I'm going. So guilty as charged. Number two?
Two, yeah. Who do you think got 26% of the vote?
Well, Dusty and the Coke problem, right? Probably caused us some issues.
Man,
so.
You are so relentless.
What? I'm trying to help him.
So relentless.
No, I don't know. Who's the surprise number two?
It was Cam.
Speaking of cocaine and staying up all the time.
Cleland got 26%.
It's his own words. I mean, Cam, huh?
Yeah. See, that surprised me.
I wouldn't think. Cam, to me, seems like such a detail-oriented person.
Right.
That he would never do that.
Well, not to the listeners.
Huh. Because like you and me both are squirrels. We're like, hey, whoa, what's
We're
happening?
We're all over the place. So true.
Yeah, but Cam seems like one of those that he picks one thing and will do it, and then when he's done with that, he'll move on to something else.
Today's poll question, 1080thefan.com, part of the fan personality series, is which fan personality would most likely win Dancing with the Stars? I feel like cocaine would help that.
That's true.
So
but
perhaps Dusty.
To me, there's one man that should run away with this.
Really?
Yes.
Are you going with the black guy?
Black guys help the white guys, except he won't participate because he's being all butthurt about
Rashad?
This.
Oh, you're talking about Swigart? Yeah, he's not on there.
I guarantee Swag at some point in his life has taken ballroom dance lessons.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that.
He just seems like the type that's he would.
You're right.
He would do it.
Yeah, you're right. He's not on here, though. He refuses to participate.
Yeah, he refuses to participate because it hurts his brand, whatever the hell that means.
So you can't vote for him.
I can't vote for Swag.
Yeah, so vote at 1080thefan.com. Yeah, what do you think?
You know what? I'm still going to go with Cam. Going with Cam.
Cam.
Dude, that guy is
great
at everything he does, right?
That's true.
He's a great athlete. You know, he's super white, so I don't know if he has any rhythm, but.
What about Sprague?
Yeah, Sprague's into the hippity hop, right? Sprague thinks he's, he's got some moves. I'm still going with Cam. I think if Cam, to an athletic endeavor, Cam applies himself, and he would. Cam would sign up for lessons. He would build the dance floor
That's
in his
a good
backyard.
Good point.
And he would grind at it 12 hours a day until he just strangled the hell out of that.
The winner's Rashad. Rashad is super smooth. He's really good at musical stuff. He's a great singer.
Yeah, he
would be a great dancer.
Rashad can sing?
Yes. I have not seen him dance, but I have a feeling he would be a great dancer.
Now, does he sing like what are we talking here? Does he go like old school, like Luther? Like what are we talking about?
Yeah, I think it's more in that ilk.
Can he sing like this?
Well, not many people can. I mean,
that's a pretty rare talent.
She's been knocking on songbird of our generation.
Oh, Mr. Brownstone.
Adelaide. Does he sing like this?
Pretty little Cajun queen.
What about this?
I'm gonna love
Does he do country?
Forever.
I mean, the best part about it is, I mean, we all hear the talent, but the variety, the versatility.
You're right.
Rock to the door.
Does he do that?
I mean,
it's amazing.
God, I go for it, don't I?
It is. I mean, you are just a jack of all trades.
God, that's awful. Well, anyway, there's our poll question.
The answer
today.
Is Rashad.
Okay.
I guarantee it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see.
There you go.
We didn't think that Cam would finish second on the iPhone question, and he did.
Someone's saying Rashad was in the Royal Blues Choir at Grant. I don't know what that is, but I'm
Come
assuming,
on, really?
I don't
That's prestigious.
I've heard him sing like in breaks on Sundays. I'm like,
really?
Damn, man.
Why doesn't he? Does he have like a, like an album or something?
I don't know.
We can all check out.
I don't know.
Why doesn't he have a show?
Well, he does.
Yeah, but why doesn't he sing on his show?
Oh, yeah. Come on, make it happen.
All right.
We should have him belt out a tune.
Just one segment of just Rashad singing.
Yes, I think that would be. I'd tune in.
I'm kind of thinking maybe some Otis Redding or, I don't know, maybe some Stevie.
Judas Priest. All right.
Breaking the law, breaking the law.
We have three more fan personality series poll questions coming Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. And we're doing those because, well, why the hell not?
Exactly.
All right, coming up next, the Power Five commissioners are breaking from the NCAA. Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is the least surprising thing. Aha! No one saw it coming, but we all did.
We'll tell you what's going on there. Coming up next, but first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Let's do this. Talk some sport.
Oh, I'm ready to sports.
The NBA targeting July 31. A few details on that coming up. Also, the latest on the Dave Portnoy, Roger Goodell football viewing thing.
This went, by the way, exactly the way everyone thought this was going to go.
Will Portnoy be allowed to watch football with Roger Goodell in Goodell's basement? We have an answer. But first, Bill, the NCAA and the Power Five commissioners appear to be at odds.
What? I can't believe that's the case.
I think this is one of those things. Most of you savvy sportsers out there know that the Power Five leagues and their commissioners, even university presidents and chancellors, are different than the NCAA in a sense.
Yeah, so the NCAA is basically an oversight that they these schools agree to be a part of as far as rules and regulations and recruiting standards. And again, you can get into NCAA violations, but like with the college football playoff or league schedules and conferences, the NCAA doesn't have anything to do with that. The NCAA doesn't mandate that you play a certain number of conference games or who can play, how many lower divisions. They don't have anything to do with the college football championship. The main thing that the NCAA does is run the basketball tournament, and they run the other like Olympic sport championships. But as far as college football goes, there's quite a bit of autonomy between individual schools, conferences, and anything that the NCAA does other than a rule book.
And the divide is larger than ever.
Yes.
Because college football is growing so different and more lucrative
than anything else. Even college basketball, which is obviously a big revenue gainer, mainly because of the tournament. But we all know that college football, in almost every athletic department, it makes up 60 to 70% of the total budget, in some cases more than that, for the entire school.
Yeah, so I think that the NCAA still is relevant because of the NCAA tournament and because of the NCAA tournament only.
Yeah.
Due to the dollars that is multi-billion dollar.
Yeah, it's $1 billion operation every year.
So that's a big deal. Other than that, the Power Five leagues have grown so much different than all the other leagues and all the other schools that they don't want the NCAA. They want to split off and do their own thing and keep the monies. Well, we've been kind of wondering if COVID would, in this whole pandemic, would maybe force that issue a little bit.
Yeah.
And it certainly seems like it is. Dennis Dodd just wrote a piece in CBSSports.com about a forced modernization of the NCAA. Mm-hmm. In other words, this is forcing the big, it's creating the haves and have nots, that divide even further, and the haves are going to eventually go out on their own and create their own governing body and make even more money without all the hangers on. Yeah. It's only a matter of time. It's just a matter of when and how it's going to get there. Well, COVID's probably going to help that. And today, the Power Five commissioners broke free of the NCAA and sent a letter to Congress separate of the NCAA pressuring Congress.
Yeah.
And what they want is, in this letter, and Larry Scott was a part of this, They asked the feds to put forth a law regulating how college athletes would receive endorsement money
for their name, image, and likeness. The NIL. You hear that thrown around a bunch.
Yeah. So they want a broad federal law that applies to all states that supersedes the state laws that all at this point have varying specifics on this matter.
Yeah. And basically you've got about a year, a little less than a year to figure all this out because Florida's law goes into effect, I want to say June or July of next year. And the fear that the NCAA has at this point is not even necessarily the fact that kids could be able to capitalize on their name, image, and likeness, right? We know that's already going to happen. That cat's out of the bag and it's not going back in. The fear is that if the Florida law passes, I think there's, I want to say there's 13 to 17, because some have passed, some are just in the works, but we are now in the teens of different states now that have either passed or have laws that are coming on the books that will outline this. And the biggest crisis that the NCAA could have is having 32 or ultimately 50 different laws governing in this. Because at that point, if you are deciding where you want to go to school, there could be a huge advantage to going to a school in California versus Florida, or going to Ohio versus going to Arizona. And so that is the sticky part, is the NCAA has desperately tried to fight this. And once they realized that they weren't going to win this, now they want the feds to get involved to have one federal law. That way everyone at least has to play underneath the same rules. The ultimate question here is, and I've heard plenty of lawmakers that are asking this question, they don't really believe that the NCAA has anyone's interest in mind other than the NCAA. And they're concerned about them putting unfair caps or kind of loopholes around this, where we're saying, yeah, you can benefit from your name, image, and likeness, but only in the ways that we think are best. And, you know, that's ultimately going to be the decision here of what the federal government wants to do and how much they want to get involved and how much they trust the NCAA.
I think it's interesting, though, because this is not a shock.
Yeah.
I just think it's interesting that they didn't approach this through the NCAA.
Yeah.
That shows you a couple things. It shows you, hey, one, they may not think the NCAA really has the pull with the feds like you may think.
Yeah.
And two, it may show you that they really don't care to be aligned with the NCAA much anymore.
Well, they realize that when you're talking about name, image, and likeness, this, I think there's this fear-mongering and a stunning development that's going on in our country right now about everything. But this is the one where everyone's like, oh my God, every single kid in college now is going to be on the take, and it's just going to be so unfair. The Power Five conferences realize that this is not going to be the free-for-all that everyone wants to make it out to be. And for the teams outside of the Power Five, where I went to school at BYU, or if you went to San Diego State or Fresno or Boise, really, there's not just this influx of money of millions of dollars that's just going to be being thrown around to these athletes, right? But for the Power Five schools that encapsulate the big programs, the big booster cultures, Oregon, Ohio State, USC, Washington, Alabama, Auburn, it directly affects them way more than everyone else. And so they're just saying, look, no offense to you guys, the little guys, we don't care what you do. Go do your own thing. We need to get our money-making universities, we need to get them in line. We need to get all agreed that this is the best for everyone. The NCAA and the Power Five conferences right now are in survival mode. The landscape is shifting. It's radically going to change. And they're trying to get ahead of this and say, okay, we accept the fact that it's going to change, but we would like to control the change. And I'm just not certain how all this goes down, because Congress has said multiple times, Anthony Gonzalez, who's a former receiver at Ohio State, he's now a congressman in the state of Ohio, and he's been pretty vocal about this. And I've heard from plenty of legislators that have said that they don't buy the fact that the NCAA has the kids' best interest in mind, and they are not going to allow, at least this is what they're saying, they're not going to allow the NCAA to put a bunch of restrictions and loopholes in this thing to allow them to control it.
Let's see what they do,
yeah.
The feds. The Power Five commissioners did say that time is of the essence. They're like, hey, we need this now.
You got a year. You got a year, because once the Florida law kicks into gear, everything changes. Right? Because at that point, imagine if the Florida law goes into effect, at that point, starting next year in the recruiting cycle, not even recruiting, just next year, Every kid that goes to Florida, Florida State, Miami, they can start making money off their name. And I mean, that is an absolute game changer if they're the only one. And if you think that Florida is, to say this, let's say we get to like February or March of next year. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, Florida can start paying their kids. You don't think that the Alabamas and the Louisianas of the world and the Texases aren't going to pull a Spicoli and be like, we need to get some cool rules ourselves. There will be a rush to get these things that are passed. And so, yes, time is of the essence. This is the one thing I do agree with the Power Five and the NCAA on this, is time is of the essence, and it would benefit everyone if there was one universal federal law that governed all this. I just hope that we don't see the NCAA try to use its sway or the Power Five to basically bribe lawmakers into putting a bunch of BS restrictions on exactly what can and can't be done with these kids, because it is their own name, it is their own image, and it is their own likeness.
Do you think coaches and teams will start to vet kids more based on this? In other words, who they recruit? Like somebody texted and said, in stunning news, several top universities are starting to pass on kids that they feel might push the envelope on that marketing and likeness and cost them in the long run. Do you think teams will look at that and go, you know, this kid
depends on how good you are.
He's got his hand out.
Yeah.
You can ask these types of questions when you're recruiting a kid. Hey, how do you feel about the name, image, likeness thing? What are you going to do if a car company comes to you and says, hey, this and that? And I wonder if a kid really seems gung ho about it or really wants to capitalize on it. If schools don't go, well, maybe he can, you know, go somewhere else.
I think there will be certain schools that be willing to roll the dice more than others. And I still think
we all know who those are.
Yeah, we do.
And the Kansases and the Ole Misses.
Absolutely. Well, and to a lesser extent, a lot of this could depend on your coaches. And I'm not trying to throw shade at any program here. Washington will look different under Coach Lake than it will under Coach Peterson. I know for a fact that Chris Peterson,
He vetted
more than most coaches, and there was something to the, I want my kind of kid.
Yeah, Lake's going to take more risks.
And I think he'll take more risks. I think Oregon takes more risks than some other schools. And certainly the Alabamas of the world are going to take a ton of risks, or Auburn. Florida certainly will roll the dice. So, and I think it'll be a sliding scale versus how good you are. When you're talking about a Reggie Bush-like kid, look, USC knew that Reggie Bush had his hand out. He knew, they knew what kind of talent they had there, and that there were going to be people swarming around him, and it was worth the risk. Now, if you're Joe McKnight, if you remember, he was the kid that came behind Reggie Bush, and McKnight was a big deal, but wasn't Reggie Bush, maybe you're a little less inclined to do that. So, but I think this will have to be addressed. When it comes to recruiting and what exactly you're getting with each individual kid. But to me, this idea that should stop this process is ridiculous. It is time to grow and evolve. And this is the next component of it. And by the way, this won't just be football players. Who's the Oregon softball gal that they just, Cam and Dusty had her on?
Haley Cruz.
How many Instagram followers does she have? I mean,
I don't know.
She has an enormous
I'll
following.
Go look it up.
Antoine.
She's bigger on TikTok than anywhere else.
TikTok.
That's her thing.
Antoine Walker, you know, the old NBA player. Or is it Antonio Walker?
Antonio.
His daughter is a volleyball player from Northwestern in a stunning development. She's a hot, huge, huge social media following. So there are going to be people like that will be. That's the other crux of this, is it's not just going to be endorsements. It will be social media followings, just like the Kardashians or anything else. Hmm. So this is going to be a whole new world that is going to go across lots of different athletes, lots of different sports, male and female. Think about what Sabrina Ionescu could have done as far as name, image, and likeness her last year at Oregon, or her last 2 years at Oregon. She would have been, I'll bet she would have made more money than any Oregon male athlete during that same time, football or basketball.
Whoa. Haley Cruz has 188,000 Instagram followers.
Yes.
Damn.
That will be worth money to her. you know, when this kicks in. So, you know, this is all uncharted territory, and I get that there's going to be a bunch of pearl clutching on the part of the Dabos of the world, and oh my God, what is this going to be? But we'll adjust to it just like everything else, and there will be a new norm that settles in, and I do not think it is going to be the chaos that some people want to make it out to be. There just isn't enough money out there for every kid.
It's just going to be the elite ones.
Yes. When I was coming out of high school, I was a decent sized recruit and could have gone where I wanted and was a good college athlete. Dude, no one's lining up to give the center a free car and $100,000. It's not going to be there. But for the right ones, sure, absolutely.
Here's a text, the fan text line. By the way, new fan text line number to reach us. Mm-hmm. Goes into effect Monday. Right now, you can still use 55305, but that goes away on Monday. The new number is 503-250-1080, same as our phone number. Somebody said, the problem is now you also open up the ability to investigate using legal techniques and subpoenas. When you violate the NCAA rules, there's no subpoena power.
Yep.
So this being a federal law will open all kinds of channels to investigate these athletes, and instead of just finding marketing money, now they'll have the ability to find booster money, bank accounts, all kinds of other shady crap.
But it's possible. But if this is all on the up and up, then a lot of that will go away, because why do you have to be shady and give a kid a car where you can just sign a deal with him
right. And
give him a car? And that's the whole point, is it's not going to eliminate every dirty, you know, thing out there. But if you open this up, it's going to take a lot of this out of the dark and bring it to the light, and it's going to be better off. Reggie Bush wouldn't have to take an illegal car from someone. He wouldn't have to take $250,000 in cash from some shady booster.
So how many coaches are going to be behind pulling the strings of the boosters and sponsors saying, hey, this is a kid you might want to give a little something to, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, that's totally legal on the endorsement front because we want him.
It's possible. And this is one of the things that the NCAA wants to be in charge of. They want the law. Their big thing that I've seen is they don't want that happening. So the NCAA, I know, in all of their proposals to Congress has been that they don't want high school kids to be able to participate in this. They want a rule stating that before you get on campus, none of this can be done. And if it's proven that you took money to go to a school in one of these endorsement deals, that would be a violation, that you'd be ruled ineligible.
All right.
So that's one of those things that they're trying to put a roadblock in.
I understand, but you don't think coaches are going to be...
Yeah.
They already do this.
Yep.
It's just now going to be another avenue to do it.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's just going to grow the gap between the haves and the have-nots, but...
Have been a variety of proposals.
If you think that the Ohio States and the Alabamas and the Washington and the Oregons of the world and USC's don't have a giant advantage over all those other schools anyways, welcome to the real world. And this is only going to further illustrate that.
Haley Cruz on TikTok, 465,000 followers.
She will make a serious amount of money. Probably not life-changing money, but she is going to be paid well when this comes into play. And here's the other thing. Not every kid is going to go someplace simply because they think they can make a bunch of money. I'll take myself for an example. I'm not dumb enough to believe that as a 3 or a 4 star, we didn't have star rankings back then, but again, I was a fairly big recruit. I'm not dumb enough to believe that I'm just going to go to USC simply because there's going to just be this flood of money coming my way. I mean, it may take a couple years to kind of settle into it, but I just don't think that this is the horrific nightmare landscape. Every single kid getting money, I don't buy it. There just isn't enough money out there to go around.
All right, Portnoy versus Goodell, the latest next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, so last we told you Dave Portnoy of Barstool was the guy who bid for charity. He gave like, what, $250,000?
Yeah, I want to say it was right around there, 200 and change.
Money going to charity to sit in Roger Goodell's basement and watch football with him.
And we told you there is no way that this was going to happen because, I mean, he was arrested at the... He was banned from the Super Bowl. Portnoy was... He's the one that made up the Goodell clown shirts. He just goes after me, calls for him to be fired all the time. He's public enemy number one of Roger Goodell.
Yeah, and he's been, you know, on social media or doing his bit going, hey, I paid the money fair and square.
The day he won it, he even took a screenshot of like the winning bid and put it out there. He goes, just so they can't say that I didn't win it. Yes, I did. F you guys. And then he was like, hey, Goodell, I'm coming for you. I mean, he's been taunting him ever since he won with what he was going to do.
So you knew somehow, some way the NFL would slide out of this.
Yes.
But it's bad PR because it's for
charity.
Charity and all this. And here's how they're framing it.
By the way, I'll bet you that Abe Portnoy still gives them the money and for charity and uses this to just, this will be the best thing to happen to Portnoy because he's just going to use it to further his platform of ripping him to shreds.
They are framing it as Portnoy failed a background check.
Is the background check that of he hates Roger Goodell?
So, no, the background check is that he has had multiple encounters with NFL security.
Yeah.
And then
hence being arrested at the Super Bowl.
He also posted, they also cite a 2011 incident in which he posted a nude photo of Tom Brady's then 2-year-old son.
What?
Oh boy. I don't know anything about that, but that's what it says here. The league also pointed to his arrest.
It was probably one of those where like someone had a photo of, you know, you're two.
Yeah.
He was probably in the bath or something.
And, right.
You know,
and
that's,
he probably. That probably was, but.
That's such a cop again, out on Goodell's part.
So then he says the league also pointed to his arrest in 2015 for trespassing at the NFL's Park Avenue headquarters during the Deflategate scandal and trespassing in 2016. That he posted online. Also, the league noted incidents at the Super Bowl in Atlanta, including falsifying credentials for the opening night media interviews and then violating a ban by attending the game itself later that week. So they say he was the highest bidder, but the bid was contingent upon a background check. So he consented to the background check and it came back and he heard from the NFL today that he did not pass the background check. He will not be the winner. Barstool hasn't commented. The NFL will instead donate $250,000 equally to the 6 charities it was supporting during the draft-a-thon and will select a deserving frontline worker from the pandemic for the experience.
I guarantee
see
that.
See how they spun that?
Yeah, Portnoy is going to be holding he does these emergency press conferences. There will be an emergency press conference over this, wearing the Goodell clown shirt. And I don't know if this is better or worse if you're the NFL. Maybe you could have tried to bury the hatchet and tried to have some fun with it.
Here it is. Looks like he's on vacation.
Yeah.
Emergency press conference. Goodell is a coward. Hates charity. Hates kids.
You knew it was coming. I know Portnoy is probably in some way disappointed because that would have just been unbelievable theater. But in some ways, he probably is just laughing his ass off, knowing that this is going to be picked up by every news outlet and he's just going to continue to call him a clown and a coward and
hilarious.
Yeah, just going to keep on going.
All right. Coming up next, the NBA, what they're shooting for and what the GMs want. 358 on the Fan.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.